Luke chapter 8, and we're beginning at verse 16, going through to verse 21. When I was in about the fourth or the fifth grade, I had to study for a test, and part of the test was the life cycle of the bean, and I had to describe, it wouldn't just say like, this is the leaf, and this is the stalk, or this is the pod. It would have all these kind of Latin and Greek words that they were. I don't know why they do that. This is like the Leafus Schrumpadipus, and that's the stem scrumptious, or whatever it is, you know. It's kind of like ordering coffee at Starbucks. You know what I'm saying? It's like, give me a small or a medium. It's like, what, grande at all, and espresso, mocha, cappuccino, al pepino, whatever. And so my mother said, okay, your dad and I are going out, and I'm going to be back in an hour or two, and then I'm going to test you. Okay, you've got this time, spend this time well and study. We'll see you later. And while she was doing this, my older brother was outside, and he had an axe, and he was chopping some tree, or he was doing something, and she gave him strict instructions. When you finish with that, you go put it back in the workshop, and you clean it off. Yes, Mom. Yes, Mom. And they go off. Well, obviously, I just had a good old time. My mom was away and doing my thing. And then when she got back, whoa, I ran back in. I was in the living room. My books were all over the living room, the coffee table, and I picked up my book and turned it around the right way. And she walked in and she said, okay, let's see if you know your work. She said, okay, tell me about the bean. And I went, And while she's asking me these questions, she looks on the coffee table, and there my brother had taken the axe, and instead of putting it in the workshop and instead of cleaning it off, he just put it right down on the coffee table. And so my mother looks at this and she goes, oh my goodness. And she picks up the axe and she goes, why don't my children listen to me? And I look up and I see this woman standing over me shaking this axe, and I go, oh, the bean, oh, the bean, oh, the bean. And I tell you, never in my life have I wished in a moment that I knew everything there was to know about the bean when I saw that axe. As we turn to the scriptures and we look at the Gospel of Luke, we see John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, actually saying, Jesus is coming. And he says the axe is at the bottom of the tree, ready to chop down every tree that does not bear good fruit and throw it into the fire. And that's pretty serious business. And Jesus has been talking now in parables. He has shifted from all these miracles that he's been doing with all these people following him, these crowds and multitudes. And now he begins to speak in parables. And as he does, people begin to drop off because they go, this guy's babbling. We don't even know what he's saying. And last week we learned that Jesus said, I speak in parables because there will be some who will see, but they will not truly see. And they will hear, but they do not truly hear. Because the secrets of the kingdom are spoken in parables. And so this is what we pick up from today. Last week, remember, it was the parable of the soil. Stick with the program. Okay? If you were here last week, it was the parable of the soil. And we saw the gospel, the seeds, gone on all the different types of soil. And some sprang up and some responded. Some even said they had some fruit, but the fruit never matured at all, and it died. And only the good soil was a tree and produced much fruit. And Jesus now continues with this same theme as he goes into the rest of Luke chapter 8. So let's have a look at what he says, beginning at verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. This is the operative part of this passage. Take care how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. And then his mother and his brothers came to him, and they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you speak it loudly and clearly into every one of our hearts today, Lord, that we may truly hear and that we may truly see. And Lord, that we will take what we hear, we will listen carefully, and we'll put it into practice. We will do it. For Lord, this is serious business. We don't know when you are coming. Could be in years' time. Could be today. Father, may we hear and listen well, and then do what you told us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see we will give an account of what we do with this truth. If you are good soil, you are given the seed and then you flourish and you grow and you bear much fruit. And Jesus says, takes the same concept and he brings it now into light. You have a certain amount of time. What are you going to do with the truth that you have? And again, some people say, well, Jesus is just babbling. It's just hearing words like a mother saying, go and study your work. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But judgment time is coming. And do we realize the seriousness of that? So let's look at verse 16 again. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar and puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Jesus is talking about a lamp in those days. It was like a saucer with the corners bent over like that, filled with oil with the wick inside. And you'd always light it and you'd put it up on a stand so that everyone could see and it would give light. It is ludicrous to think that you'd put it in a jar. Not in a jar like we often have, a transparent glass jar today, but it was a clay jar. So if you put it in a jar, obviously you're not going to see any light and it's not going to give any light. If you put it under a bed, obviously their beds were these thick mats or thick blanket. No one's going to be able to, it just snuffs the whole thing out. Nobody does that kind of thing. It's almost laughable, it's almost humorous, but Jesus has been very serious about it, saying, nobody does that. Or do we? Or do we? When he's given you his truth, do you put it up so that everyone can see? Do you live it out so that it's to shine? Or do you actually cover it up and hide the truth of God? Speaking of hiding clay, hiding lamps or torches, flames, light in a jar, what does that make you think of? When you think about the Bible, who placed light, a torch, inside a clay jar so that it couldn't be seen?
Gideon.
Jinx. Gideon against the Midianites. And his army was made right down to 300 men, and there were tens of thousands of these Midianites. But why was it hidden? Because it was supposed to, so that the enemy couldn't see it in the darkness. But when they came close enough and they blew those horns, what do? They smashed those glass, clay pots, and the light shone. And what did the enemy do? They turned on each other. And that's what happens when truth is brought out into the darkness. Falsehood and lies cannot stand. It folds in on itself. And truth needs to be elevated and truth needs to be made known so that lies can be exposed, so that falsehood can be exposed and turn in on itself. That's what truth does. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at what it says from verse 4. The weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power. And divine power actually means even Jesus Christ himself, who is the source of this divine power, to demolish strongholds. What kind of strongholds? We demolish arguments. See? Everyone likes to make it so spiritual and become so mystical that it's all about us fighting against demons and stuff like that. And sure, there's an element of that. But what we see and what we get in our own lives is arguments. That what arguments? And every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Everything that speaks against the gospel and calls it foolishness. Truth comes, the divine power comes, and it demolishes those arguments. It demolishes all that falsehood. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And that's why as Christians, we're never ever meant to be a holy huddle. We're never ever meant to be this little chosen frozen who just keeps the truth and the light all to ourselves. Because then we're not the chosen frozen. When we keep the light hidden away, Jesus shows us in this passage, guess what? It's going to be taken away from you. Because you cannot be, you're not someone who believes the truth. Because if you believe the truth, you will hold it up high. You will hold it up high. It's amazing how many people I know that call themselves Christians and they believe in certain things in life, certain aspects of life that have nothing necessarily to do with Christianity. Man, we'll put it all over Facebook. We'll put it all over the world. This is what I believe in. This is what's true. But when it comes to our faith, whoa, we're going to hide it under that bed. We don't want to speak out. We don't want people to think funny of us or people to reject us. Jesus said, put it on a stand. Let the people see truth. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. So do this with gentleness and respect. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is called the light of the world. Jesus is called the truth. And in Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus turns to his disciples, he turns to his followers, he turns to us, and he says, you are the light of the world. What? Yes, my light abiding in you and you abiding in me. Now go and share that light. And then Matthew continues what Jesus said, and he said, so that people would see your good works. What? Draw attention to me? See your good works, and they will glorify your Father in heaven. Whenever we say anything that is true, whenever we do anything that honors God, we always need to say, it's because of God. Always pointing to God. Not to say, well, I did that because I'm just such a nice guy. Then I get all the glory. What a nice guy is Greg. No, what a glorious God, our Savior. I remember when I became a Christian, and I was saved, many of you know, standing guard in the army. I was in this watchtower, and I was reading Psalm chapter 19, and my heart was turned around, and my life was turned around. But there were other events that led up to that moment. It wasn't an isolated incident. And something was so powerful in my life was a guy, and I think his name was Richard. I don't even know for sure if that was his name. But I met him during basic training for a little while, and it was absolutely clear that he was a Christian because of how he spoke, and because of what he spoke about, and how he lived his life. And we had these little rations every day, these tiny little rations that they gave us of bully beef. I've spoken about bully beef, corned beef and crackers, and they'd give us a little bit of water and stuff like that. And I'd finished mine off halfway through the day, and he hadn't touched his. And I was starving, hungry. And he came and he said to me, hey, Greg, how are you doing with your rations? I said, I'm done. He said, come here, sit here, brother, eat with me. And he broke everything he had in half, and he gave it to me and his drink. And that stuck out with me. That was like a light shining at me. And when I stood in the guard tower and I said, God, forgive me of my sin. And I said, Lord, change me. I said, make me like that guy. Because he was a light shining in the darkness that I lived in. And God says to us, this is what you need to be. Not self-glory, but pointing to God. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Remember them? They sold the field and they took some of the money and they spent it on themselves. They took the rest and they pretended that they were giving away all the money that they sold the field for. Why did they even do that? Just so that people would glorify them. And God struck them down dead because of that. They stole His glory and they lied to the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not talking about shining so people can say, oh, what a nice person you are. But that you would give glory to God. They will see the truth and they would see true love and kindness at work. You see, light elevates the truth. It makes it prominent. And truth and light is far reaching. So, verse 17, listen to what Jesus said. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Everything in this world, things that are not hidden and things that are hidden will be made known at the judgment. God's ultimate purpose is not to hide truth, but to make it known. Jesus said last week, we read, he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom are hidden from those. They can't understand them. Their hearts are closed. Their minds are closed. But God's ultimate plan is not to hide truth, but to make it known. And that those who would come and they would see that truth and they would see and they would hear. But what this passage is saying is that everything will be exposed. Every motivation of the heart, every lie, every falsehood, every deception will be made come into light. 1 Timothy chapter 5, listen to what it says in verse 24. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. So some people commit sins, and you go, yeah, that's so obvious, look at that, it's blatant. And so their sins get up to the judgment before they even get to the judgment. The sins get up. We all know, everybody knows about their sins. But the sins of others trail behind them. We don't see these sins. We don't see people. Other people don't see our sins. They seem to be hidden without done in darkness. But they will all be exposed. And in the same way, Paul says to Timothy, good deeds that are obvious, people see, but then even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. In other words, everything that's done, every motivation of the heart, sometimes God, people don't see the good deeds. Everything, wicked and good, there will be a time where it'll all be exposed in the light. The judgment time, it'll all truth will be made known. All motivations of our hearts will be laid bare. And that's why Jesus said in verse 18 now, so be very careful how you listen. Take care how you hear. Now, who's heard of selective hearing? Who here has selective hearing? You know, very often that can be the case. You know, a man, husband sitting down and the wife's talking to him and he is listening to the ball game or he's checking out something else or his mind somewhere else. And she says, so what do you think about that? And he goes, what? Yeah, great. And she goes, great? You think that's great? No. I think it's great that you think it's terrible. I mean, she goes, you weren't listening to me, were you? Be very careful how you listen, Jesus says. Good listeners are more successful in life. Good listeners are more successful in school. Good listeners are more successful in the workplace. They follow instructions well because they listen to the instructions and then they fulfill it. But very often we think we are good doers, but we didn't listen, so we didn't actually hear the instructions, so we don't follow the instructions all that well. I remember hearing a story about a man who had a lawnmower and there were the instructions and he had to assemble his lawnmower. And so he didn't follow the instructions. He said, I can wing this, I can do this. And he put the lawnmower together and he got to the end and there was still a piece missing. And he started it up, fired it up, and brum, 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 great, well, that's great. I guess I didn't need that piece. Mowed his lawn, came back and realized he couldn't turn the mower off. That's what that piece was for. And there's only one thing worse than a lawnmower that won't start, and that's a lawnmower that will never, ever turn off. We have to follow instructions. Jesus says, listen carefully so that you can do what I told you to do. Don't wing it. You can't wing following Jesus. You have to listen to what he says in his word, and then you do it. And you've got to be careful how you listen so you can follow his instructions. He says, be careful how you hear. Why? For the one who has will be given more. Good listeners who listen to God's word and follow that word and apply that truth, who follow his instructions, they will flourish. Why? Because they will be given more truth. And they will grow brighter and brighter and flourish more and more. Or the parable of the seed in the soil, he will grow more, bigger and bigger and more fruit. The same principle. You will flourish. Light and truth. Your light will light up and you will light up and you will shine. It will shine in the workplace, in your home, with your family, with your children, in your ministry, in the sports field, wherever. You will shine brighter and brighter as you listen well and you apply that truth. He will give you more and more and more. But listen to what Jesus said. If you don't listen, from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away from him. It's like a person going hiking and they've got a backpack. They say, don't forget your flashlight. It's going to get dark. Don't forget your flashlight. Yeah. Come and keep it on you. Don't stick it in your back. Keep it on you so that you can get the light right on as you need it. I'll just stick it in my backpack. You go out onto that hike and the darkness falls, and all of a sudden you're looking and searching all over, and you don't have the light. And you pull out everything in your backpack, and it's not even there. Jesus says, the one who thinks he has the light, I will take it away from him, because even what he has, I will take away. James uses that same illustration in a different way. He says, a man who thinks he listens to God's word, but the moment he walks away, he forgets what he hears. He's not applying it because he's not really hearing and listening. He said, it's like a person who looks at a mirror at his face and goes away, and what does he do? He forgets what he looks like immediately. A bad manager of truth. A bad listener, a bad manager, never absorbed, never applied. In Matthew chapter 25, we see the parable of the talents. And Jesus has that same principle. And he says, there's a guy that he gets 5 talents. With those talents, he gives him 5 more. He who has will get more. The guy has 2 talents. He's obedient. What does Jesus do? He gives him 2 more. He keeps on increasing. As he's obedient, you get more, you get more. That's what Jesus does. But then there's one that's got 1 talent. What does he do with the 1 talent? He buries it. What does Jesus say about that one who buried it? Like a light hidden under a bed, hidden in a clay jar. Listen to what Jesus says. Take the talent from that man who has 1 and give it to the one who has 10. Give it to the one, but he's got so much. Give him more. Give him more. Give him more. Because whoever has will be given more. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have in abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away from him. And cast that worthless servant into outer darkness, where there's no light, in the place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice how dangerous this is. Do we really care about what Jesus is saying? Sean said today, make sure that you make that calling in your election sure by applying, by adding to your life these things, by making sure that you are seed on good soil, by making sure that you are a lamp placed on a stand. He thinks he has it, but he didn't have it. Many, many of us, even in our churches, we think we have it, we don't have it. If we're hiding the light away. And then finally, in verse 19, his mothers and his brothers come in and they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother, your brothers are here standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and they do it. This was a shock to people, especially in those days. Did you just diss your family? No. But Jesus did it for the shock value purpose. This is why he did it. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 21, Mark adds to what Jesus said. He says, their family came, why? To take charge of him because they believed he was out of his mind. Jesus' brothers didn't believe Jesus was Messiah. They said he was out of his mind. He was one of these babblers. He's talking in parables. Who even understands what he's saying? Out of his mind. Praise the Lord, though, that we see in Scripture that some of his brothers, we know at least, after his resurrection, believed in him. The book of James, the letter of James, and very possibly Jude, both of them were Jesus' brothers. Who is my mother and my brothers? Those who hear the word of God and do it. They hear it, they do it. Guys, we've been talking about, you have to hear well, listen well, and do it. You can't just do things. Many, many people in churches, they say, you know what? What do you do in that church? Oh, I come, I get involved, and I love to serve the Lord. Are you doing what God asked you to do? Or are you just doing? In Matthew chapter 7, there were a group of guys that came to Jesus. Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of my Father. And many will say to me on that day, but Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons? Did we not heal the sick? Did we not do this? Did we not do that? And I will say to them, get away from me. I do not know you. You see, it's not just about doing stuff for Jesus. It's about listening to what Jesus says in his word. Listening well and then applying it in your life. That's truth that shines. It's put on a stand. Not just doing ministry. What is Jesus telling you to do? How is he telling you to live? What is the truth he's telling you to put up on the stand? I remember my dad used to send me to the garage from the house, and our garage was right at the bottom of a large piece of property, his workshop. And he'd say, okay, Greg, go down and give me a screwdriver. And I go, go down there, blah, blah, blah. And I'd moan all the way, walking down, get in, open up the door, go in there and go, now what am I supposed to do again? What was I supposed to get? And I'd grab that size 13 millimeter wrench, and I'd go back and I'd go, there you go, and put it in the kitchen. And he'd go, what's that? And I said, that's your wrench. He goes, what did I ask you for? Wrench. No. Now go back down and do what I told you. I didn't even know what you told me because I wasn't listening. You know, so often we think we can do, look how far, look how much we've done for you, Lord. Look at this, Father. And you go, but you're not doing what I've told you to do. Listen well and then put it into practice. The word hear or listen is used 437 times in the New Testament alone. That's not even mentioning the Old Testament. 437 times in the New Testament. Listen, hear. Do we take time to listen and to hear? And then, so that we can put it into practice, so we can lift up that lamp high? In conclusion, there was a professor back in the 1600s named Dr. Thomas Goodwin. And Dr. Goodwin always surrounded himself by these other theological professors and these other very bright pastors. But he heard about a pastor back out in the country, in the woods, who revivals were breaking out in his church. And his name was Mr. John Rogers. And so Professor Goodwin said, I'm going to go out and get on my horse, saddle my horse, and I'm going to ride up there. I want to see what's going on at his church. So he went up there one day, and he got into his church, and he sat down and listened to the message. And towards the end of the message, Mr. Rogers gave an illustration. And in this illustration, he pretended to be God himself speaking to his church. And he said, how long? Sounds like the Psalms, except this is now God talking to the people. How long am I going to put up with you that you do not listen to my word? How long that you do not take my word for what it is? How long? And he says, I need to take my word from you, and I need to give it to someone else that will listen. And he picked up the big Bible on the pillow, and he started to walk to the edge of the platform. And as he did that, then he changed characters in his illustration. And then he became the church, and he said, no, Lord, please. Please, please don't take your word away from us. Please, Lord, you can burn down our houses. Lord, you can kill all of our livestock. Lord, you could even take our children. But please, don't take away your word. Because without your word, we are nothing. And we have nothing. And as the professor walked out of that church and got back to his horse, he couldn't even mount his horse. He just fell over his horse's neck and he wept and he wept and he wept. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus speaks to the church at Ephesus and he says, you've forgotten your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen and repent. Because if you don't, I'm going to take your lampstand away from you. Are you sure that you're saved? Have you listened to the word of God? And do you take it and lift it up and put it on a stand? Are you sure that you're saved? And that you say, yes, Lord, I want to take the truth of your word and I want to hold it up and let it shine. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Does anybody know what it says? It says, you are a chosen race. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. To do what? That we may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has done what? Who has called us out of the darkness and brought us into His marvelous light. If you are chosen, if you are a priest, if you are holy, then we need to proclaim his excellencies and take that light and lift it up high. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Your word that transforms hearts and lives completely. That pulls us out of the darkness and brings us into the light with the light of your word. Lord, may we be so sure that we have surrendered to the truth of your word, the truth of your gospel, that it challenges and changes our lives and turns it upside down. That, Lord, we take that truth and we hold it and we lift it up high so that you and no one else may be glorified. Challenge us, teach us, help us to listen and to hear and to do this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.